I'm Brad Locke.
I'm Dylan Barnes.
And you're listening to Prep Rally, a high school sports podcast brought to you by the Daily Journal and thejournal.com.
Get you any of that pizza out there, Dylan?
I have not tried it yet. I haven't eaten any of it yet. So
guess what kind we got?
Okay, I hadn't looked. We always get five cheese. So yep. Five cheese is out there.
Got that one.
And then I think we did meat lovers last week, so you probably didn't do that again this week. I'm going to say it's either barbecue chicken or chicken Alfredo.
Sausage. Oh. Kept it simple this week.
Okay, hey, their sausage is really good.
It really is. Go get you some later. And y'all go get you some Pizza Doctor because they sponsor the podcast. So, yeah. You know, support our sponsor. Support us and our pizza habit.
Hey, please.
Yeah, find them at Midtown Point in Tupelo. Hey, it's Brad and Dylan. We're back. A day later than normal, but that's because I've been kind of under the weather, which it probably sounds like to you. You can tell I've been a bit under the weather. I'm improving, though. So going to muscle through this podcast. We got plenty to talk about. Got some football championships to look back at. Got some basketball to talk about. Got a little bit of coaching news. Going to have athletes of the week. Again, this podcast is sponsored by Pizza Doctor. We come to you normally every Wednesday. Find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. Well, Dylan, the high school football season is at an end.
It's crazy.
It's hard to believe. Fast. I know. It happens every year. It's like, I can't believe it's over. We had the state championships last weekend down in Hattiesburg. I went down there. We had two teams playing for titles, Amory and West Point. Unfortunately, neither one could bring back the big trophy, but still great seasons by both of those squads. Just talk about Amory first. They played Jefferson Davis County, which, of course, is the old Bass Field. So you already know that's a program that's tough to deal with. And they were tough to deal with for Amory. Final score of that game was 42-10, Jeff Davis. And, I mean, Amory played him tough there for a good while. But those guys for Jefferson Davis County, there's just a bunch of them that can do damage. I mean, got DeMario Booth. He had 205 yards and four touchdowns rushing. And he's not even, like, the best offensive player. I mean, Malcolm Hartzog was Mr. Football. And, you know, he had a nice game. I mean,
just committed to Nebraska this week.
Yes, I knew he had the offer recently. He had 130 yards and two touchdowns, but, like, he wasn't even the star. That Booth kid, man, was, as my dad would say, swooped. he just exploded through the line of scrimmage on, like, I think three of his touchdown runs were pretty long ones. And as soon as he hit that second level, he was gone. Defenders were there. They just couldn't get to him. I mean, that whole team is just built on speed, man. I mean, Amory did what it could offensively. Charleston French, just a lot of tough running, which is what we're used to seeing with him. He was hard to tackle. And he had a good game, 125 yards, but he never did find the end zone. Jatarian Ware did have one touchdown pass. He had the lone accounted for the lone touchdown when he hit Cam Haynes for, like, I think it was a 59-yard pass there early in the game. But just too much Jefferson Davis County, and, you know, for all the talk on their offense, I mean, their defense was pretty good, too. They got a bunch of turnovers in the second half, and it kind of started to get out of hand. Yeah. And, you know, but still, I mean, Amory, you look at what they did this season, and ended up 10-4 after starting the season, 2-3, I think it was.
Yeah, 2-3 is what I think it was.
Yeah, they won, like, 8 in a row before running into the juggernaut known as JDC. So, Brooks Dampier in his first year, good job, and he's got some of these kids coming back next year, like Charleston French and Jatarian Ware.
Yeah.
And
Cameron Haynes.
Yes.
And Daniel Walker. I mean, they're going to be loaded next year.
Yeah, Walker, the linebacker, just a sophomore, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Led the team in tackles.
Yeah.
So they're going to be a team to watch again next year in 3A. Then in the 5A game, West Point playing in its sixth consecutive title game, although they lost last year. Of course, they won four in a row, lost to West Jones last year. And this year, they did not want to experience that feeling again. But Picayune would have something to say about that. Picayune is the team West Point beat 2 years ago for its most recent title. And some of those guys that played last Saturday for Picayune were on that team. Not a bunch, but enough that remembered. Yeah. And they didn't want that feeling again either, and ended up pulling out the win by a score of 40-21. I mean, it was It was a close game for most of the game until you got into the fourth quarter. I mean, it was West Point led 21-20 after Cam Young had a touchdown run early in the third quarter, but then that Darnell Smith kid had a great game on the ground for Picayune. He put them back on top with a long touchdown run. Then Dante Dowdle, the great running back, had a big run. Had a big touchdown run from 2 yards to put them up 34-21. They added another touchdown a few minutes later. And, man, that run game, you know, we knew West Point had a great run game. We knew Picayune had a great run game. But, boy, Picayune ran for 393 yards. I mean, that's the first time all year West Point has been outrushed. And they got outrushed by a lot. They only had 160. And coming into this game, I'm trying to remember what the stat was on West Point. They were averaging like – what was it? 300 and
it was over 300 rushing yards.
I can't remember if it was them that averaged 328 or Picayune, and then the other one averaged like 360 or 370 a game. Anyway, it was way under West Point's normal average. So hats off to that Picayune defense as well. They made it really tough sledding. I mean, Cam Young had a nice game, 92 yards and 3 touchdowns. Scored all 3 of his team's touchdowns and had 14 carries, but Cannon Daniels and Keyshawn Henley never really could get going for them. And the passing game, they had a little bit of success there with Daniels and Quinterian Tillman Evans, but just wasn't enough against this Picayune team that Dowdle had 148 yards rushing. Chris Davis had 139. Darnell Smith had 88. I mean, three-headed monster right there. We're used to the West Point three-headed monster. This was a pretty good three-headed monster. Those guys had 5 touchdowns combined.
Think they get most of that back next year? Picayune does. I know Dowdle's a junior.
Yeah, I don't have the roster in front of me.
And but. So I think I'd listened to their head coach's post game press interview on the field and stuff. And I was listening to him and stuff, and I think they get a good bit of that back next year too. So there's a good chance you might see Picayune West Point Part 3 next year.
Sure could, because West Point's got a good bit coming back. They got Daniels coming back. They got Henley's coming back, isn't he?
Keyshawn Henley is a junior as well. Daniels was a sophomore.
That's right. Young is graduating.
Yeah, Young's they'll lose Young, but you know it's Tillman, at West Point. That's
Tillman Evans be back on defense. They are going to lose some key guys like Fred McMillan and Keon Cunningham, and I believe Jacoby McQuiller is also a senior.
Yeah.
But they always reload.
Yeah. I'm not. West Point has proven the reload deal. I was just making the point of Picayune potentially bringing all theirs back. And I mean, we could be setting up some sort of, like, trilogy here. So
that would be awesome. Okay, so football season's over. But, hey, we do have all area that we're working on.
Yeah.
Hopefully that'll come out for us. December 26th, I know. Gosh, I've been my brain's about fried already just since I've gotten back from Hattiesburg. I mean, I was working on it some before.
Yeah.
The season ended, but now it's like I'm all in on it, and we just – it's hard. But that's why they pay us the – big bucks?
Nope.
Well, anyway.
Take that back.
That's why they pay us. Let's put it that way. Okay, basketball rewind. Hey, let's go back to Tuesday night, Dylan. You saw Pontotoc take on New Albany in some boys action. Division opener for both teams, Jalen Edwards. Big game for him. And Pontotoc got a much-needed win because they've started kind of slow this year.
Yeah. They started 2-6, but I think when you look at that schedule, you kind of understand why, you know. Up there, were up 12, I think, on Starkville, up 12 on Cleveland Central, lost both those by like 2 points apiece. So, this has been kind of one of those years where this group's just been trying to find a way to win, and they get their division opener against New Albany and really went big. And it kind of shocked me. We moved New Albany, moved Pontotoc out of our rankings because of the 2-6 start, put New Albany in because of their 6-1 start. New Albany's been playing really well with Carter brothers, Cameron Carter, Chris Carter, and then big 6-6 Mike Smith's been playing well this year. But, man, Pontotoc just really came out of the gates and just after the first quarter, it was kind of back and forth, and Edwards finally got going late in that first quarter, and when he got going, it felt like it was over before it even began in that second quarter.
I'm telling you, I saw this Pontotoc team. You know, you talked about that Starkville game that they lost, where they led by 12. I covered that game, and I think that was the season opener for both. And I could tell then, even though they lacked size, Pontotoc was going to be a fun team to watch, and they would be okay if they could hit their shots. And I know that's something they have struggled with at times this year.
Yeah, but and that wasn't – and like you said, the shooting woes, that was something that bit them against when they lost to Amory by 11 or something a few weeks ago. Yeah. Like they shot below 30% as a team in that game and lost. And then they shot well over 50% in this game from the field and hit 11 threes in this one too. And that's kind of their – MO, if they're going to be what we expect Pontotoc to be, it's going to be that. And it's really they kind of have a three-headed monster we talked about with Picayune and West Point rushing attacks. But in basketball here, they're guards with Zane Tipler at the point, Jalen Edwards and Tyler Shepard.
Yeah.
Those three make everything go. And look at the score in the game. Jalen Edwards leads them 27. Mm-hmm. Tyler Shepard has 20. Zane has 15. Both Shepard and Zane also had 10 assists apiece.
Wow.
So it's more than just like shot making. It was the playmaking that you saw. They built a 14-point lead at halftime off that second quarter because Zane and Shepard was able to get the ball to Jalen in good spots. And then New Albany comes out in the third quarter, down 14, and they jump into a half-court 1-2-2 trap. And Pontotoc just stuck Jalen in the corner. Zane and Tyler just kept passing it over the top of the defense. Jalen catch shoot. He hit three. His first three attempts in the third quarter goes boom, boom, boom in. Mm. And next thing you know, you're looking and they're, Pontotoc's got a 31-point lead before the end of the third quarter.
What was the final?
It is 84-69 was the final. And so I was pretty shocked by that result.
Yeah.
Not that Pontotoc won necessarily, because they're certainly capable and talented enough to do it. But just the fact New Albany's been playing so well. New Albany just scored 106 points on Myrtle
in
the game before playing Pontotoc. So they're offensively super capable. Pontotoc did a good job defensively. It was just a matter of shooting was the difference in this one. New Albany just couldn't buy a lot of shots, and Pontotoc felt like everything they put up went in. So
yeah.
It's just one of those games that I'm actually eager to kind of see this rematch because they'll see them again down the road. So it'll be a good one, I think.
Then back on Saturday, you went and covered the Doc Vandiver Classic at Baldwin. And saw some interesting things there, didn't you?
Yeah, I think the game of the day very easily was our number one ranked Tupelo team versus number four, Biggersville. If you haven't been keeping up or maybe you've been indelved in football like this since it's just now ending, Biggersville has not taken the floor until last week.
Defending 1A state champs.
Defending 1A state champs. Lost Cam Smith, big 6'7" hero mm-hmm. from that game, and it was going to be hard to replace. Replace that, but they had a few pieces coming back like Brooks Brand and Zay Davis and a few other pieces off the bench and stuff. But man, they have reloaded, and don't get me wrong, they lost 45-40, but I think everybody came away more impressed with Biggersville Saturday in a loss
against the best 6A school in the area.
You
got Starkville.
Tupelo's ranked number one, Starkville's ranked number two, they're pretty neck and neck, but I mean Tupelo's very deep.
Yes.
And when you start thinking, Tupelo's got like 2,000 kids, 9 through 12, and Biggersville's not even close to that. They hadn't had 2,000 kids.
I don't think they've got 200,
dude. Yeah. but it was insane because I thought watching that game, I thought that Tupelo eventually, I knew Biggersville's talented, they'd be competitive. I just thought the depth would eventually get to, because I've seen Tupelo do that a couple times this year where their depth's really gotten mm-hmm. to other teams. And Biggersville had as much depth as they had. They were running 5-on-5 off with Tupelo, and they're a 1A school, and that's what's scary. When you think about that, they were just super athletic. Biggersville was got really. I mean, Tupelo came in averaging almost 85 points a game offensively, and was held to 45. They won that one 45-40. And it was just a super impressive effort for Biggersville. That was just their second game of the year. I think now they've played three. They beat Wheeler Tuesday night. So,
yeah. And this is a team with some new faces, but also some familiar ones like Zay Davis, who's going to kind of help them this year. Brooks Brand, another big time returnee.
But the new faces like Dietrich Sugars came off the bench and provided a spark defensively. Didn't do as much offensively in a 45-40 game. Didn't have much offense really. But defensively, him coming in, he took on the challenge at guarding Gavin Channon. And when Dylan Rousey was the one initially starting on that, and they were able to kind of move bodies around.
Yeah.
And I think just that versatility, like everybody was big. Their new transfer in, Zach Sweeney.
Zach Sweeney,
did not play. He was on the bench. He was dressed out. but did not play against Tupelo. And they went with more of a smaller lineup, I guess you could say. But, I mean, everybody on the floor outside of Zay Davis was above 6 foot and long and athletic. So they really matched up well. And I think as time goes on and these kids, you know, because there's a difference between football shape and basketball shape.
Oh, yeah.
And when they get into basketball shape and they start shooting the ball a little bit better, being a little more cautious with turnovers and stuff like right. that, I think, man, that this team, the sky's the limit for them. And they absolutely are a team I've got. Almost written in Sharpie that they'll be in Jackson again.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, no doubt. Okay, coaching news. Hey, we've got some football coaching moves happening. East Union got a new head coach. Brandon Cherry replaces Todd Lott, who resigned a few days ago to take the head coaching job at Washington School. He's coached there before, Todd has. So he was at East Union as head coach for 2 years. Brandon Cherry has been there as the defensive coordinator. I think he's been there the last 4 years, last two as defensive coordinator. But anyway, he's also got experience as a head coach at Alcorn Central for a couple of years. He was at Morville before that as defensive coordinator. I mean, yeah, he came to East Union in 2018. So he was DL coach and then offensive coordinator. I'm sorry, not defensive. But anyway, he takes over a program that's grown so rapidly since its inception just a few years ago. He had Kevin Walton before Todd and got them to the – was it last year? Well, Todd's actually took them to the North Final last year
right.
for the first time. Had another good year this year, and they'll have some really key players coming back next year. I know they're going to lose some too, but that's the way it goes. But I think Brandon's a pretty good, pretty solid choice there.
Yeah, absolutely. And I mean, if anybody knows how to rebuild, it's him with his experience both at Morville and Alcorn Central. I think he'll be able to bring in that to East Union and be able to find a way to get guys ready to play next year.
So. Yeah, and when he was at Morville, they had some decent teams there under Kevin Austin during that time. So, he knows how to take a program that maybe doesn't necessarily have all the requisite parts you might think are needed to be a winning football program and still get the most out of them.
Right.
And I feel like he did that in 2 years at Alcorn Central. Mm-hmm. I mean, he won 7 games, which at Alcorn Central is
good.
It's just the way it is. You know, historically, they're not that strong. So, Brandon Cherry, the latest football hire. Let's do this week's shout out and it goes to our all area volleyball honorees. That, if you missed it, it ran in Sunday's Daily Journal. Find it at djournal.com. We had the first team, second team, third team, 18 players total. Coach of the year was Andy McGregor at Pontotoc. Won a state championship after having a baby midseason.
Yeah, basically at the start of the season.
But, yeah, congrats to her. And Catherine Bianco, player of the year from Oxford. That's right, not Mia Griffin this time. It was close. It was, basically down to her and Catherine. Mia, of course, won it the two previous years from Alcorn Central, and she did nothing not to win it this year. But Catherine was just such a dynamic player, heart and soul of that team, that was just so dominant all season, made it all the way to the 6A state finals. So anyway, congrats to them and all the honorees there of the all-area volleyball team. Again, you can find it in Sunday's Daily Journal this past week. Let's close it out with Athletes of the Week. I do this every week on our male and female athletes for their accomplishments. Male Athlete of the Week, we mentioned him a while ago, Tyler Shepard, the junior for Pontotoc. He had 26 points, 7 rebounds, 4 assists, and 3 steals, and an 87-73 loss to number 1 Tupelo on Friday. And then he had 20 points, 8 rebounds, 10 assists in that 84-69 win over New Albany on Tuesday. And then female athlete of the week. I think you got to see her play recently, didn't you? Ava Kate Smith, the freshman from Boonville. 9 points, 17 rebounds, and a 49-41 win against Biggersville on Saturday. How tall is she?
5'5"
And she got 17 rebounds.
Yes.
And Biggersville ain't, they got some big girls.
Yeah.
It's impressive.
If you don't know, daughter of head coach Michael Smith.
Right.
Absolutely hustles her end off.
Oh, I bet she does.
The entire game. Like, when I interviewed her after the Biggersville win, and she was huffing and puffing and barely could talk. She was still, just trying to catch her breath. She had played, all 32 minutes and just went insane. Wow. So.
And then Ava Kate. Back on when I was at, I didn't write it down, Fred, Tuesday.
Tuesday.
She had 24 points, 4 rebounds, 6 steals, and she hit the game-winning shot at the buzzer in a 62-60 win against rival Newsite. I saw the video of that. She stepped through and lobbed it up, and boom, right at the horn. Clutch from a freshman.
Yeah, to keep Boonville undefeated.
That's right.
Yeah, they're a young, scrappy group, and she's a part of that. And they're playing ball right now.
Keep an eye on them. Okay, that's all the time we have for this episode of Prep Rally. Thank y'all so much for tuning in. Coming to you every week. Come find us on iTunes, any of your podcast apps, or online at preprally.djournal.com. Be sure to follow us on Twitter at djournalpreps. I'm on there at Brad Locke. Dylan's on there at Dylan Burns DJ. We'll see y'all next week.